Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Are you stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We're continuing our study in John chapter 9 in this account where Jesus heals the blind man. Let me set the stage again from what we've been considering this week. They had wondered about whether this man, since he had been born blind, that his sin caused it or his parents. And Jesus, as we looked at, explained this, that this sickness was not caused by some specific sin. It was given to him as an opportunity, as a reason for the purpose that God would be glorified. So a very powerful section here. And Jesus was illustrating for them the great problem. Remember verse 39, "For judgment I've come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." So there are those who think they're fine, and they're going to be blinded in judgment, never being able to see the Messiah. There are those who understand and perceive their wretched condition in their hearts. And Jesus is going to open up their eyes to see him. So this is a really powerful section, and Jesus illustrated that we studied yesterday. He spits, he makes cakes of mud, if you will, from the dirt, and he plasters it over this man's eyes. I said yesterday, you don't give sight that way, you blind that way. The washing came when he went to the waters. That's what John has been teaching us the whole time. Jesus in judgment blinds those who think they're fine and will not turn, will not come, and those who understand their sin, he gives living water to set them free. It's all grace. Faith is a gift. That's where we left off yesterday. That the greatest need of the heart is to be given spiritual sight, to have the heart opened, to be regenerated. The problem is that we're all blind from birth. We don't see our spiritual states and what our need is. And Jesus must come and see us and rescue us, and in divine sovereign grace, open our hearts, give us the faith to believe in him as the Son of God. So that's what's happened here. His eyes have been opened. Now what happens in John 9 is awful. Everyone recognizes something's happened to this man. In verse 8, his neighbors, we read, begin to ask about him. Is this not he who begged? Some said this is him. Others said he's like him. And in John 9, he openly says, this man who was healed, I am the one. His neighbors begin to ask how it all happened, and he rehearses with them that this man, Jesus, anointed his eyes with clay and went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and he was healed. So this is really powerful. The grace that was given to him, the first thing that happened was his neighbors knew it. They saw him as different. They want to know how it happened. Isn't this the one who used to, putting this in very practical terms, do all those bad things, but now he's in the church? He now worships Jesus? He now fears the Lord? That guy? Is that him? Are you sure? Can't be. Sure looks like him. It's me. It's me. The Lord gave me grace. He gave me eyes to see. I see now. Listen, as soon as you take that stand, you're going to be put on trial. It's not an easy life. Once you come to Christ, you're going to be put on trial. And that's exactly what happens. They take this new believer, this weak novice, and do all in their power to have him deny Jesus Christ. You can learn a lot about this. In verse 13, he's brought to the Pharisees. So immediately after his change, a whole official Sanhedrin trial begins to examine this man And all of it has to do with his connection to Jesus Christ. Does he confess Jesus Christ? Who does he give glory to for his sight? And the examination that begins results in a scene of bullying, guilt-driven sectarianism, and forced submission by intimidation. Just an awful scene. In verse 14, we read that Jesus did this on the Sabbath. Now, this is twice in John's gospel. Back in chapter 5, he did the same thing. Did it on the Sabbath. Healed a man at the pool of Bethesda. And they wanted to stone him for it. He now does it again on the Sabbath. He's doing this on purpose. And you think, Jesus, did you want to do that on the Sabbath? Of course he did. The Pharisees are furious. So they begin their interrogation of this man. How did he heal you? The man begins to tell the story. And they begin attacking Jesus Christ. This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. What a statement, huh? Here's their reasoning. All people who are truly from God keep the Sabbath. This man who healed you doesn't keep it. Therefore, he's not of God. So verse 17, what do you say about him? Because he, this Sabbath breaker, who can't be from God, opens your eyes. Come clean about him. In verse 24, they openly call Jesus Christ a sinner. So you better deny him right now and confess that a sinner, a Sabbath breaker, opens your eyes, which makes the whole thing illegitimate. In verse 16, we again see fence sitters that we've seen all throughout John, who just speculate, how could a sinner do that? And again, there was a schisma, a division among them. Jesus is creating division wherever he goes. See how ugly the church can be when you have leaders in it that are blind? This is what happens. Here's a brand new believer whom Jesus healed, whom Jesus gave sight to, and he doesn't know much. He doesn't understand much. He's not even totally sure about who the Messiah is yet. But he believes with a childlike, simple faith that Christ had given him. And now he's put on trial before the ugliest legalism exposed in Scripture. Doesn't this go on? A new believer hears the gospel and is transformed. He's had a hard life, let's say, for years. A lot of baggage. Let's just say he's had a lot of divorces. You know? But now he's come. He's been transformed. He's believed the gospel. He's sorrowful for his past. He believes the gospel. He's heard the good news. That's what gospel means, by the way. And then some legalist comes and just browbeats this person over his past, over his divorces, tells them, I've heard this. There he is living in perpetual adultery. And he should go back and get with the first one he was ever married to. Wow. You know, never does this legalist, this person, stop and think about who they are attacking, what they are attacking, and here's the big one, that their interpretation of the law might be wrong. This is exactly what's happened here. Instead of the joy that took place in heaven over the repentance of the sinner, here, the religious community is pouncing on him over the Sabbath. You admit, you shouldn't have even been healed on the Sabbath. Therefore, your whole healing is illegitimate because it was done by a sinner on the Sabbath. What do you say about him? Notice the forced submission, the intimidation, the bitter sectarianism, and the complete lack of care for this man's physical and spiritual state. All they cared about was beating this man into submission, full agreement with them. They'll accept nothing else. We're going to see in John 10, Jesus paints and shows himself as the good shepherd, contrary to all the stuff that's constantly going on in the kingdom. The man replies in simple faith, well, he's a prophet. So what's their next move? Well, we find out in verse 18 that it began to circulate among the Jews that what Jesus did then was a total fake. Just a big act of chicanery. Didn't really even happen that this man was made, that this blind man was given sight. So they go now and they bring in mom and dad. The next step is to get this poor beggar to deny Jesus. You haul in the family, get those closest to him to turn on him. So in verse 19, they do this. Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents responded by saying, yes, this is our son, but we don't know who this is or how it happened. Ask him. He's of age. The reason they refused to speak of Jesus follows. What we find is that they said these things in fear of the Jews because a formal Sanhedrin decision had now been made in Israel that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, they would be unsynagogued. They would be expulsed from the synagogue. In other words, they wouldn't be able to attend. This is really tragic that the leaders in Israel had instilled such fear into the people that they could no longer confess Jesus Christ. So in verse 24, they bring him back and they put him again on the stand. I want you to notice the reasoning they now use. Give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. I want you to think about what they're doing here for a minute. They now draw the last logical conclusion they can to try to catch this man and have him deny the Son of God. Give God the glory. In other words, okay, we're willing to recognize you are healed, but only people who are from God can open the eyes of the blind. This man's a Sabbath breaker, a sinner. Therefore, there is no way he could have opened your eyes. So if you're going to claim this, you need to glorify God alone. And he can't take that honor to himself because he's a sinner. Verse 25, I love. Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. Notice the simplicity here. One thing I know is that though I was blind, now I see. All I know is that this man healed me, and I cannot and I will not validate your charge against him. This is really powerful this morning, dear listener. They are so blind. But here's what happens when Jesus opens the eyes of someone who was blind, someone whose heart was dead, and Jesus gives life. He confesses him. He's given faith as a gift. And even though the world rages against him, he will be held, because he has been given life implanted in the heart by Christ himself, living water that has given him this regeneration. So I ask today, you know, who do we represent? Jesus said in verse 39, for judgment I've come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Do you see, or are you blind? The Pharisees heard that and said, are we blind also? If you were blind, you would have no sin, said Jesus. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. You must recognize your spiritual poverty to understand how great a Savior you need. And it's only He that can give you the eyes to see that. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.